And Jesus took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me.
The Sunbeam nursery leader gently takes the young child from the mother. Communication between the leader and the child is immediate, for love is there. With a reassuring smile from the Sunbeam leader, the mother confidently goes to the meeting of Women's Missionary Society. She knows that in her absence, her most precious possession will be fed, loved, and served.
Jesus said, Suffer the little children to come unto me.
It is small group activity time in primary beginner Sunbeam band. Tell me about your picture. Tell me about your picture, asked the leader. The blotch of black, that's a boat. The green smear, grass. The drop of brown is a house, says Mary. All reflect the story that the children have heard. Picture books tell vividly about world children, how they live, what they wear, the kind of food they eat, the types of houses they live in. Role-playing of family life brings concepts of love and sharing for Jesus' sake. The missionary is coming to lunch. The table must be set, the floor swept, the room put in order.
It was a Savior who took an unknown child and placed him in the midst of the disciples. And that child has been in the midst of the history, the art, the poetry, and the music of the church and of heaven from that day to this.
In the primary Sunbeam band, it is time for large group activities. Johnny and his friends have moved into the circle.
Today is a day for our Sunbeam Band birthday party, and Sunbeam bands all over the Southern Baptist Convention are having birthday parties. Don't you think our birthday cake is pretty? And I think your birthday gifts here on the table are so pretty. I know that our two friends, who are going to be 75 years old next week, are going to like your birthday gifts. The birthday gifts that we're going to give them on our 75th birthday. And they look so pretty. You wrap them so nice. The paper is so pretty and the ribbon too. I know you had fun selecting the gifts, didn't you? But you know, before we cut that birthday cake, I want to show you a book. A scrapbook that I have here. And in this scrapbook, we're going to see some pictures of boys and girls who were in the Sunbeam Band many years ago. But before we look at this scrapbook and see all the pictures, let's sing Happy Birthday.
Thank you. Suffer the children to come unto me. Close to my heart let the little ones be. The door of my kingdom is open and free. Suffer the children to come unto me. Suffer the children where'er they be, out of the homeland or over the sea. They are my jewels, and this is my plea. Suffer the children to come unto me. In the early 1800s, God placed a dream in the heart of mission pioneers. They dreamed of children, even the youngest of Christ's disciples, helping to fulfill Christ's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. As early as 1800, there was Mary Webb, who, although her body was bound to a wheelchair, let her spirit roam the illimitable fields of mission opportunities for children as well as for adults. Mary Webb saw the importance of children helping others to know Jesus. She remembered how the Master himself had said, "Suffer little children to come unto me." Mary Webb organized some of the first children's missionary societies in America. They were called the Children's Sent Societies. Mary Webb built a bridge of mission zeal and activity, with one arch of the bridge resting against her own wheelchair. And the glad crusade of children's mission organizations began to march over. Baptist children have had a rich heritage in the life-giving support of great pastors and denominational leaders. One of the giants of Southern Baptist history, a learned man who possessed statesman-like leadership, was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina. He was Dr. Richard Furman. Influential in the civic and religious life of his day, he was invited by the President of the United States to speak to the legislative and judicial bodies of our country. He helped to establish educational facilities for young men who felt called to preach. About the same time Mary Webb was organizing children's missionary societies in Boston, this young pastor from Charleston, Dr. Richard Furman, organized the children of his church into the Juvenile Missionary Educational Society. This great preacher saw that as the missionary commission is placed in the inner souls of children, there can be a fulfillment of the hope of the Christian world. Dr. Furman directed the prayers and the gifts of the Juvenile Missionary Society, especially toward the Catawba Indians. Then came the electrifying personality, Luther Rice, back from his mission work in India. With victorious faith in God, he undertook to kindle missionary zeal and activity among the 160,000 Baptists scattered from Maine to Georgia. Luther Rice shared Mary Webb's and Dr. Furman's dream that children have a place in fulfilling Christ's commission. They felt that children, too, can help bear the glad tidings of salvation. Luther Rice, God's man of the hour, not only organized adults in missionary societies, but also organized children into missionary might societies and sent societies. Across the years, we see him still organizing, inspiring. 8,000 miles a year he rode along the wilderness roads in sun and sleet and rain. Wearily he crossed swollen streams and mountain paths. As he rode, he was linking adults, young people, and children to the future program of world missions. Did he dream that from the seed he was sowing, one day Southern Baptists would reap a rich harvest in missionary interest and gifts? And so the mission dream begins to come true, for God placed the same dream in the heart of George Braxton Taylor, another brilliant young pastor. Dr. Taylor, too, dreamed of the children of his own church, organized to tell others about Jesus. In describing his dream for the children, he said, "I want to teach the children of my churches about children in faraway lands beyond the seas who never heard of Jesus. Then they will want to send them the story of Jesus and the sunshine which he brings to hearts and homes made dark by sin." Dr. Taylor's dream for the children was strengthened as he observed Mrs. Anna Elsom's teaching the primary Sunday school class in the Fairmount Church. It was a small, one-room country church. Preaching services were held only once a month. Mrs. Elsom's class met in one corner of the little church, not even separated from the rest of the room by curtains. She lovingly called the children in her class her sunbeams. She said she received inspiration from the name. Her class grew rapidly, and soon she had 40 children in it. Mrs. Elsom's heart was filled with mission zeal. She began to dream of enlarging her sunbeams activities by sending sunshine to heathen lands as well as into home and school. She wanted to organize her Sunday school class into a children's missionary society. Her pastor, Dr. Taylor, because of his great mission zeal, greatly encouraged her to do this. In the early summer of 1886, as if the hand of God was directing, Dr. John D. Lawrence, leader of the Children's Missionary Societies in the Methodist Church, visited the Fairmount Baptist Church. Later in the day, he went to Mrs. Elsom's home. Dr. Taylor and Mrs. Elsom were stirred with the story of how Rosebud Societies in the Methodist Church had their beginning. Dr. Taylor later declared that if it had not been for the success of the Methodist Children's Missionary Societies, he might not have had the courage to offer the children of the Southern Baptists a missionary society similar to the Rosebud pattern. Mrs. Elsom recalled the day she, Dr. Taylor, and Dr. Lawrence visited together in her home. She said, "Never can I forget the spirit that filled Dr. Taylor's heart that day. As he prayed, he laid himself and all of us on the altar of service for God. He asked God to reveal definitely his will to him. Should he begin to organize children's missionary societies? Or should he join his missionary father in Rome? The need for missionaries in Rome was great. It was a decision most vital to the kingdom's work. Not our will, but thine, O Lord." They all prayed together that day, these mission pioneers with a dream in their hearts. The hand of the Lord was leading the gentle, mature Sunday school teacher and the energetic young minister. There was no mistake about it. On a day in April 1886, 2 years before Woman's Missionary Union was organized, a group of children met in the yard of the Fairmount Church in Virginia. There was tall, graceful Mrs. Elsom, standing by while Dr. Taylor arranged the children in a line, ready to march into the church to organize the Sunbeam Band. Seated at the new Mason and Hamlin organ was a lovely young woman dressed in white, and before her a copy of the New Baptist hymnal with notes. As she struck the first chord of Onward Christian Soldiers, the children straightened their line and marched proudly into the little church to organize the Sunbeam Band. The dream of Dr. Taylor and Mrs. Elsom was beginning to come true. Dr. Taylor was pastor at Mount Shiloh Baptist Church at the same time, and a Sunbeam Missionary Society was organized there too. Thus his dream began to grow. But his dream included other children, not in his own churches. He dreamed of a children's society in every church in Virginia, and even out beyond Virginia. The dream became a reality. Through Dr. Taylor's untiring zeal and energy and his contagious missionary spirit, children's missionary societies began to spring up as if by magic until Sunbeam bands filled the churches across the Southland. Dr. Taylor strongly believed that children do not need to wait until they are men and women to know the romance of modern missions. In their early years, the command to go into the world can be in the very warp and woof of their being. Thus, their childhood horizon is enlarged. Dr. Taylor took the leadership of the Sunbeam bands as they were organized. He furnished material for the missionary programs. Under the name of Cousin George, which the children lovingly called him, he wrote a column in the Foreign Mission Journal called The Sunbeam Corner. In this column, he gave the programs for the meetings and outlined the work for the leaders. In addition to his programs, he corresponded with the Sunbeam leaders and acted as treasurer of Sunbeam funds, receiving contributions and entering them in a ledger. After 8 years of activity, the mission gifts of the Sunbeam bands alone totaled $25,000. Sunbeam Band was the name chosen by Dr. Taylor and Mrs. Elsom for the Children's Societies of the Southern Baptist Convention, although other names were suggested, such as Evergreen, Pearl Gatherers, Lamp Lighters, and Ivy Band. In the month that followed, Dr. Taylor brought in groups of women to discuss the Sunbeam Band organization with them. He told them that the organization of the Sunbeam Band was simple. Young people as well as children were included. The members of the society were to elect their own officers, but Dr. Taylor urged pastors and Sunday school teachers to help them in every way they could. The initiation fee was 1 cent, and monthly dues were 1 cent. He suggested that meetings be held once a month. He explained that the first missionary programs would consist of imaginary visits to other countries. In May, they were to visit China, and in July, Africa, with stopovers in Italy, Mexico, and Brazil. By the time the year was over, the children would have made a trip around the world. The object of the societies was to carry the sunshine of the gospel of Jesus Christ into homes and schools and to the heathen. This was to be done by being kind and obedient and helpful at home and at school, and by giving pennies to send Bibles and preachers to other lands. Dr. Taylor saw the importance of training the children in stewardship. As Cousin George, he wrote in the children's column of the Foreign Mission Journal and encouraged the Sunbeams to earn their mission money rather than beg it from their parents. He gave practical suggestions on how to earn the money. Each member, if possible, was to have a missionary hen. The hen was to be named after some missionary or mission station. Eggs and chickens of this hen would be sold and the proceeds brought to the Sunbeam Band meetings. This suggestion captured the fancy of the children and their leaders. Soon there were missionary pigs, missionary crops of tobacco, missionary peanuts, missionary cotton crops, as well as missionary hens. Pearl Ligon, one of Dr. Taylor's first sunbeams, wrote to Dr. Taylor that her missionary hen was named China. She told him that China had hatched 3 chickens and that she had named them Dr. Taylor, Dr. Yates, and Sue May. Pearl enclosed her mission offering of $1.20. Her missionary hen had helped her earn the money. Another child named his missionary hen Dr. Taylor. And when the hen died, it was rumored all about that Dr. Taylor himself had died. Dr. Taylor had asked the Foreign Mission Board for help and instruction. The board gladly gave him the help he needed. Dr. Taylor's dream of children's missionary societies assumed such proportions that he soon felt he no longer could give the time needed for the work. The Foreign Mission Board requested Woman's Missionary Union to take over the Sunbeam organization. The Sunbeam bands of the Southern Baptist Convention were adopted by Woman's Missionary Union in 1896. With joy and reverence, the women accepted the responsibility of the Sunbeam bands, and tenderly through the years have they nurtured the work. Dr. R.J. Willingham, along with Dr. George Braxton Taylor, who had worked so faithfully and successfully with the Sunbeam bands, gave to Miss Fanny E.S. Heck, president of Woman's Missionary Union, the deed of trust to the Children's Missionary Societies, the Sunbeam Bands. It was a kingdom-building transaction for God that day. The dream in the hearts of mission pioneers was being fulfilled in such a phenomenal way that the organization needed someone to give personal oversight and direction to it. Woman's Missionary Union in 1916 chose Miss Mary Faison Dixon, Young People's Secretary, to give direction to Sunbeam bands as well as to young people's work. She served the group effectively for the next 2 years. Miss Juliet Mather in 1921 accepted the mission responsibility for the children and the youth of our Southern Baptist Convention. A dedicated Christian with unexcelled mission zeal, along with love for children, made Miss Mather the ideal person for this position. She brought to the work all the plans, suggestions, and the inspiration her keen mind and devoted spirit could envision. The work leaped forward under her leadership as she unified the scattered and disjointed mission activities of children and youth throughout the convention. The youth magazine, World Comrades, published first in 1922 and issued quarterly, helped to initiate a closely interwoven Department of Missionary Education for children and youth. It covered all phases of mission emphasis. This magazine was another dream come true. Once Dr. Taylor had written in his children's column for the Foreign Mission Journal, "Maybe someday we can have a paper all to ourselves." Sunbeam Activities, a quarterly magazine just for Sunbeam Band leaders, was published first by Woman's Missionary Union in May 1953. It contains program plans, missionary stories, pictures, games, and other activities for Sunbeams. Units of study for beginner and primary Sunbeam bands are featured. Now, indeed, children have a mission magazine just for them, as Dr. Taylor desired. Miss Margaret Bruce became Youth Secretary of Woman's Missionary Union in 1948. Completely devoted to the cause of missionary education for youth, she brought to the position years of rich experience with missionary organizations in Tennessee. And the work grew. Under capable, convention-wide leadership, the Sunbeam bands continued to grow in a remarkable way. The need for separate leadership and direction for this organization became most apparent. Woman's Missionary Union responded to this need and in 1955 chose Miss Elsie Reeves as the first director of Sunbeam Band Department. Her training in elementary education, coupled with love and appreciation of children, qualified her as the leader of leaders of Sunbeam Bands. And the work grew. Miss Abby Louise Green was led to accept the place of Sunbeam Band Director in 1960. Her dedication, preparation, and experience made her make her most effective in the missionary organizations for children. Her work gives promise that the Sunbeam Bands will continue to grow. Multiplied by tens of thousands, our Sunbeams and we will multiply year by year in untold numbers, church members who know about world needs, about the transforming power of the gospel, who have formed the habit of glad, generous, regular gifts for preaching the saving grace of God to earth's remotest bounds. These were the words of Dr. Taylor when the 50th anniversary of Sunbeam Band Organization was featured in the Women's Missionary Union annual meeting here in St. Louis in 1936, 25 years ago. At that anniversary meeting, the report of growth was phenomenal. In 50 years, Dr. Taylor saw his mission dreams of children grow from one Sunbeam Band in 1886 to 6,366 organizations in 1936. Surely God quickened that early, small beginning into a mighty multitude. The achievement of gifts alone from the Sunbeam Bands has been amazing. Those first Sunbeam Bands gave money to build a Mexican school at El Paso, a school in Canton, China, to send missionaries to the Indians and to Africa. Bricks for a chapel in Cardenas was a real project of love. They provided a missionary for the Chinese in San Antonio. Churches, hospitals, and other mission buildings have been erected by gifts of Sunbeam Bands. Sunbeam Band members learn to give themselves as well as their money. Herein lies the great reservoir from which many Christian workers of the kingdom have come. There are many missionaries on both home and foreign fields who witnessed that it was in Sunbeam Band they received the first beckonings of the Holy Spirit, which later became a clear call to the mission field. A little girl in Georgia was a member of a Sunbeam Band. Out of an experience she had in that Sunbeam Band, she felt peculiarly drawn to the children of Africa who did not know Jesus. Now, for 20 years, she has served as a missionary among those children of Africa, Miss Margaret Marchman.